Tonight's scripture reading will come from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in the word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you.
John F. Kennedy once said, Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. In many ways, I believe that's a lesson that I wish were more widely accepted and applied even in our day and time. And yet oftentimes I think we like to think in terms of things and how they benefit us. I think oftentimes, even as we think about living the faithful Christian life, we think about, how does this benefit me? What's the benefit? What's the aim that I get out of it? And yet, oftentimes, I think we need to pause at times and think, what also can I give? Whether I'm already a member of the church and I'm looking at what I can do to benefit the church, or maybe even sometimes as we're studying with others, we think of an encouragement, not just in what that person can gain by obeying the gospel, but think of all that you have to offer as well if you would obey the gospel. The original thought that came to mind for this lesson was from Numbers chapter 10. And here we have an occasion where Moses and the children of Israel are traveling from Sinai, going to the promised land. Moses has an occasion here to speak to his father-in-law, Hobab. And he has been with him here for some time. And as Israel's preparing to leave, Moses is going to encourage him to go with him. And I believe he uses both of these arguments, these pleas with Hobab. What can you gain by going with us? But also think of what we can gain if you will go with us. I'm going to begin reading in verse 29 of Numbers chapter 10. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying into the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my kindred. And he said, Leave us not, I pray thee. For as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes, it shall be, if thou wilt go up with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. Moses here is pleading with him, won't you go with us? Not only would you be able to help us, but also, the classic argument, think of all that we can do for you. I want to think first in that terms. Moses says in verse 29, and restates this again in verse 32, we will do thee good. Think of the benefits that we can offer unto you. Don't you know that Israel is going to be richly blessed? And just as we are blessed, we will also in turn bless you. Moses knows the promises of God here. He has already begun to richly bless this people. He has led them up out of the land of Egypt. They have richly prospered even in that journey. He's promised to be with them in this journey. He has promised them the land of Canaan. Through Abraham, he has promised to give them that land. He has promised to greatly multiply the numbers of Abraham, even as God has already begun to do. And he reminds them, God is going to richly bless Israel. And just as we are richly blessed, if you will come along with God's people, don't you know that you in turn will be blessed? I think the same can be applied spiritually today. We can think about how the church will do us good if we will go along with God's people, if we'll be faithful unto Him. Do we not realize that all of the benefits that are promised unto the church become ours as we become a member of the church, as we become a member of the body of Christ, one and the same, the kingdom that was long prophesied that came into being in the first century? That the same blessings and the promises we read of in the prophets, the blessings and the promises, the joys that are shared in the New Testament, that even today as we are faithful with God, don't we know that those same blessings and opportunities are available unto us? And that's an invitation that's open unto all of the world. As Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest." Matthew 11 and verse 28. That invitation of the gospel went forth into all the world in the Great Commission. Go into all nations and teach the gospel to all creatures. Make it all the people of the world. And so this was an open invitation to everyone. You can benefit. Think of the good that will be done to you by being a member of this kingdom, of this body that here Christ has promised to save. Oh, there are many physical blessings we're going to enjoy day by day. Jesus speaks of this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. The sun and the rain, they fall on the just and the unjust. The air that we breathe day by day, do those not come unto all people? And yet there are spiritual blessings that are available only to those that are in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, we're reminded, as Paul speaks there, and he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." He's identifying there a location that being in Christ, being in His body and in the church are one and the same, Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23. Therefore, all the blessings that are available in that body are available to you as you are in Christ. You become a recipient of all of these spiritual blessings. And recognize, as you will go with God's people, will you not be blessed? Just as God blesses the church, then therefore those blessings are available. They are shed upon the members of that body. What are just some of those blessings? It would be impossible to go through and think of all of those even tonight. But we can think of a number of them. Do we not have fellowship with God? And do we not have fellowship with those that are faithful with God? John writes in 1 John 1, verse 3 and 4, that which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. Is there not a great joy that's available unto all that would be a part of that body? Is that joy not also tied to the very fact of the Christian fellowship here that we enjoy between one another? Is it not also tied to the very fact that we have fellowship here with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Is it not tied to the very forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life that we have, as He mentions in 1 John 1 and verse 7? That as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Do we not have that great joy? The gospel we've seen, we've heard, we proclaim it unto you, that you can enjoy all of these blessings. Do we not have a family? A family that enjoys that fellowship, that loves one another, that encourages one another, that supports one another. Various times we've looked at passages that speak about one another, whether in bulletin articles or sermons, but you can go through the New Testament and look at various places where it talks about how we are to treat one another as the family of God. Those are blessings we enjoy as part of this family. Paul is speaking of this blessing in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 19 as he says, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." You were without hope. You were lost in the world, dead in trespasses and sins. But now in Jesus Christ, you enjoy this this spiritual blessing of having a spiritual family. That is the household of God. A household that loves one another. Jesus commanded His disciples, "This is My commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." John 15 and verse 12. I think of the encouragement that we're given, that we are to give one to another. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love, to good works." Here we're encouraging, strengthening one another, supporting one another. Is that not a great spiritual blessing? Will not the church do us great benefits as we are a member thereof? That here we have a family that rejoices one with another and that weeps one with another, Romans 12 and verse 15. So indeed, numerous spiritual blessings there in this life, but in eternity as well. That the great spiritual benefits we enjoy include that hope, that promise, that expectation of life eternal with God. Jesus says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, that they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand." John 10, verse 27 and 28. My sheep. Those that will follow Me, those that are going to be in Christ, they have eternal life. And none will pluck them out of My Father's hand. He'd say to His disciples there in John 14, verse 1 and following, "You believe in God," "let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That I have an expectation that as I put off this mortal body, as we studied this morning and last Sunday morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in our Bible classes, as I put off this mortal body, I have an eternal body with God in the heavens that I look forward to putting on. As Paul reached the end of his life, as he was able to say that he had fought the good fight, that he had finished his course, that he had kept the faith, he said, "Henceforth there's laid up for Me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give Me at that day, and not unto me only, but unto all them that love His appearing." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Is that not an expectation, a joy that we gain as we are faithful unto God? These are things that we need to be reminded of, the joy, the benefits that we have as being part of God's family, as continuing faithfully with His people. But I believe also these are blessings and promises that we need to be speaking to others of as we study with them, encourage them to be faithful unto God. That these are spiritual benefits. Indeed, if you will go with God's people, if you'll be faithful unto Him, we will do thee good. Well, just as the church is blessed, and all of these promises and blessings are given unto it, these are blessings and promises that will fall unto you as a member of that body. Oh, see and taste that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Indeed, there are rich blessings that we enjoy as we walk with God. But I want to think about something we may not think about as often. Not only did Moses say, "Come with us and we will do thee good." In effect, he also says, "Come with us and you will do us good." Here in verse 31 of Numbers chapter 10, he said, "Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest unto us instead of eyes." To encourage Hobab further, Moses is going to speak of those things that he has to offer them if he will go with God's people. Hobab here is going to be of great benefit He knows this territory. He has lived in it. He has worked in it. He knows the area into which they're going to travel. Oh yes, God had sent the cloud of guidance that was going to go before Israel. You remember here that cloud that would rise up when God was ready for His people to go forth? And that cloud would move before them as a cloud in the day and a pillar of fire at night. And when it was ready for them to stop, it would rest in some place and there Israel would set up camp. But there was still a lot that Israel was going to have to do for itself. God was going to lead them. He was going to guide them and direct them. But there were also things God expected them to do for themselves that they were quite capable of. And here it would be of great benefit to have a man that knows this land and its territories. He's going to know, have wisdom in the areas while they're camping here. And he's going to know various areas where they might find water or how they might handle certain situations. And so certainly he would be of great aid and great benefit. I think of Proverbs 11 and verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Moses recognized, I need some counselors by my side. I need some people to help me. I need some people that are going to be able to benefit us as well as they walk with us. And he sees that in Hobab. Moses is humble enough, thankfully, to ask for some of this help. And so he tries also to persuade him with this idea, you have something to offer the children of Israel as well. We will bless you as we are blessed, but you will be able to help us as well. I believe also as we encourage ourselves, as we encourage others, as we study with them, that we need to remember all that each individual can do for the church. You see, each individual has different talents. Each individual has different personalities. Each individual knows a different set of people. Each individual is going to be able to do things, maybe in some areas that others can't do as well, but those others will be able to work in other areas. It was going to take all of them working together as they were going through the wilderness, and yet it takes the church working together as well to be what God would have it to be. Paul taught that we each make up a part of the body. And he presents it in such that certainly each member, each part of that body is important. He couldn't point to one member of that body and say, well, that part is unimportant. He says here, the body of Christ is even as a physical body that works together. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. The church is composed of many different peoples, of different backgrounds, different knowledge, different skills, different abilities, different talents. And yet as he goes on there through chapter 12, he describes all of those different pieces working together. And only when those pieces work together were they going to be able to reach their full potential. So he says, even in verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. They were all to be working together. So we think about that today. We need to remember as members of the body, of the church, each of us have an important role. Each of us have an important place. There's not a one that you can point to and say, here, this person's unimportant. We really could do without them. No, each and every single individual is important. Each and every single individual has a place in that body, a work, a labor, an effort that they can put forth, some talent, some ability, some usefulness. And we should each strive to put that into action. We also need to remember that we, as we work together in the church, are able to become laborers together with God, as Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. Had someone impress me on this a number of years ago as they spoke about it and reminded us that sometimes even as we speak to individuals, we can pause and cause them to consider. Do you not recognize some of the things that you have to offer the church? And that recognizing they're needed and recognizing they're important can go a long way to encourage them to be faithful. Whether we're speaking to someone that is considering obeying the gospel. Think of all that you have to offer as a Christian. What can you offer the church as a Christian? Maybe we're talking to someone that's fallen away and is no longer being faithful. Think of all that you have to offer and think of how the church is suffering because you're not there. Because you're not aiding and encouraging in the work of the church. And think of how even those that are active need this encouragement from time to time. To be reminded, yes, the service and the work that you're doing in the Lord's church is important and it's needed and it's appreciated. We think, well, what will I be able to do as a member of the church? Well, I'm going to be able to bring honor and glory to God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, Matthew 5 and verse 16. There are a lot of good people in the world. There are a lot of people that do a lot of good works. But are we doing it in the name of the Lord? Only if we're walking as a faithful Christian. Only then is He going to receive this honor and glory that's fully due unto Him. Think about it. That here as a Christian, as you're walking faithfully with Him, you're laboring and you're serving Him. It's Him that's receiving the honor and the glory and not yourself. You'll be able to encourage others as a member of that body. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 speaks of this as we gather together and worship. As we encourage one another in the things that we do. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Do you not recognize you have a part there? That even as He mentions here specifically, as you're singing one to another, are you not encouraging and strengthening one another? And go back and think about for a moment a verse we used in the last section. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Now I'm rather selfish if I'm only looking for others to encourage me, to provoke me unto love and good works. If we want to see how the church is going to cooperate in that, we recognize we're doing that one unto the other. And so even as that's a blessing or a benefit that I'm giving to someone else by being faithful in the church, it's a benefit that I gain by going with God's people as well. That I'll be strengthened and encouraged and I'll be able to do that for others as well. That I can be an example to others. No longer an example of one that's living a worldly life, but think of how many people are going to see the example you set before them as a faithful Christian. How many that you know personally are going to see you that may not see somebody else? Maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a husband or a wife or a child or a mother or a father or a close personal friend. Think of all the people that you know that you are closer to that maybe no one else has been able to teach the gospel to. And yet here you're going to have an opportunity to help these people. You're going to have an opportunity to be an example to them. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi and he says in chapter 2, verse 14 through 16, do all things without murmuring or disputings, that you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You go forth and you live that faithful Christian life, there are going to be others even in the world that are going to see the life that you are living. They're going to see the example that you set. Paul writes this to Titus in Titus 2, verse 7 and 8. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say to you. You watch your influence. You watch what others see about you. Again, as we read in the Scripture reading tonight in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. In all these areas, think about the benefit that you have to offer the church That here is another person that's shining forth as that example into the world, both to faithful Christians that's going to encourage them, but also to those of the world that are going to see something in you that is different. You may be able to encourage them. You may be able to help them see how their own life needs to be able to change. And so closely associated with that, I'm going to say another benefit that we can give the church is that we have the opportunity to save others. Not in and of ourselves, but as we live that example, as we're able to teach, as we're able to encourage, as we're able to point them to the gospel, as God's power unto salvation, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, you're going to have this opportunity. Again, as Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." But here I'm speaking to someone concerning the gospel, and I say, look at the opportunity you're going to be able to have. That here I have the opportunity to teach you the gospel, but if you'll be faithful and walk with God's children, don't you recognize you're going to have the opportunity to reach other people that you love, that you care about, that you know? You're going to be able to teach them. And the amazing thing is that then if they will take what you have taught them, if they will apply it to their lives, they can go forth and teach others as well, who will go forth and teach others as well. It's impossible to measure the influence on the kingdom that you might have with your singular decision of obeying the gospel. Do you have something to offer the church? Oh, yes. Who are you going to be able to teach or encourage in this way that maybe someone else won't? Won't be able to, or won't know, or won't come in contact with, but maybe you will. And you can teach them the same thing that you've done. Again, back in the scripture reading from tonight, 1 Timothy 4, verse 15 and 16, Paul tells Timothy to meditate on these things, give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Paul is encouraging Timothy, as a young Christian, as a young preacher, you go forth into the world and you preach the Word. Timothy, you be faithful in all things. You be an example of the believers, even though you are a young person. You go forth as this example into the world, and yet, Timothy, you grow, you mature as a Christian in your knowledge and in your faith. But Timothy, don't just do it for yourself. Yes, we could spend some time there in how Paul encourages Timothy in much the same way Moses does Hobab. Paul tells Timothy, you do this for yourself, that you might save yourself, that you might grow and mature in this Christian faith, and so look forward to eternal life. You think of the benefits that the church has to offer you. But Timothy, you think of what you can offer the church as well. Because not only is this going to benefit you, it's going to benefit others. Your profiting will appear unto all, and it may be, because you've studied, you've learned, you've grown, you've provided this example, that you'll have the opportunity to help save others also that hear thee. Yes, Timothy, you have something to offer the church. Finally, along that same idea, James 5, verse 19 and 20. "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins." What's that going to require? Well, as we've studied this morning, you're going to have to first apply the lessons of the gospel to yourself. You're going to have to be living that right example. But then, as you do that, not only are you going to enjoy the benefits of being in the church, here's another benefit. I'm going to have the opportunity to possibly help save others. That here, even those that are wayfaring, if I have the opportunity to teach them and help correct them, help turn them back to a faithful relationship with God, think of all that you're going to be able to offer to the church. Here you've turned a soul back from destruction and have helped him find the forgiveness of his sins by being faithful once again unto God. Can you measure that benefit of even just helping in some way save one singular soul? But what if you do that multiple times even throughout your life? So many people maybe you know, so many people maybe that you can affect. Do you not think you have something that you can offer the church? There's a great work for the church to do. There's enough work for everyone to be active, to be busy, and never slow down. So I want to encourage us. I want to encourage those that we study with. Think of all that you can offer to the church. Think of the benefits that you have to offer. Not just what the church can offer you. Not just what you gain. Not just the blessings that now are available unto you. But also think of all that you can do. All that you can accomplish. So Moses encouraged Hobab, come with us. We will do thee good. But not only that, you can do us good. I'm not sure 100% whether Hobab went with them or not. I'm not sure the text completely tells us. I think there's an indication there that likely Hobab did go with them. But what I'm much more interested in is not what happened many thousands of years ago. But what about right now? Will we take the same encouragement from we see in that example of Moses and apply it spiritually and think about all that the church can benefit me and all that I can benefit the church. And then what will I decide to do? Will I decide to go with God's people? Will I decide to be faithful unto God? Will I decide to be a part of that group, that body of Christ, the church that He's promised to save, the body that He says, I'm going away and I'm preparing a home. If I go and I prepare that home, I'm coming back for you, that you can be with me in all of eternity. I hope that's our goal. I hope that's our aim. And so as we study with others, let us encourage them. Think of all that we can offer as the church by being faithful unto God. But think also of what you can offer if you would decide to be faithful unto God. The benefits that you can give. Are we subject to the invitation to be become a New Testament Christian even tonight by being baptized into Christ? By maybe being restored to a faithful relationship with Christ, by redoubling our efforts, recognizing the great benefits and joys of continuing faithfully with God and His people, and also recognizing what is it that I can do for God and for His church, for His people? Will I set forth with greater resolve as I go through this life to do those things? If you're subject to that invitation, why not, even before we leave tonight, let it be known as together we stand and sing.